Greetings in the name of Jesus. Pastor Myron Crockett here from Journey Community Church, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. A few days after Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, to your family. I hope it's blessed, and I hope that you're experiencing lots of blessings, but also lots of rest in this holiday season as you hang out with your family. Or maybe you're able to connect with some friends. And it's difficult during COVID, but perhaps you're able to do it and do it safely. We'll see. But in any event, blessings to you. As many of you know, Journey has shifted. We shifted all of our Sunday morning ministry to our online platforms for the next few weeks because we had a regular attender at Sunday worship test positive for COVID. So when we first reopened in July, we promised to reopen our church and its ministries with prayer and with care, with courage and creativity. Well, this is the care part of that equation, right? So we're online. We were online for Christmas Eve service a few days ago, obviously. And you can still catch that on our YouTube channel and then also on our Facebook page. We have Christmas conversations, really wonderful time. And some great music ministry and worship that you can be a part of there. But then also for this Sunday, today, December 27th, and then also through next Sunday, January 3rd, we're also going to be totally on our digital platforms. Okay, so that's what we're doing in light of the fact that we had someone who tested positive for COVID. We are going to be looking to regather in person for worship on Sunday, January the 10th. All right. So there's been some all church communications about that already. And you can go to Facebook for that. You can also go to your email inbox for that. And then there'll be further communications about developments with that as well down the stretch. So please be looking at your email. Please check Facebook. And we're going to be looking to get even more information out to you. But in any event, I do hope that your Christmas day was blessed and that anytime you've had gathering with folks has also been good and restful for you. And like most people, you've probably begun to turn your attention, turn your eyes towards New Year's Day, right? Which is quite natural because, hey, it's coming up. But you've probably begun to think about 2021, right? What it's going to be like, what you hope for, what you are anticipating, things that maybe are some unknowns and some things that you're looking to gain some more perspective and understanding about. Now, most of us have been thinking hard about 2021 because we simply want to get off of this snake-bitten roller coaster called 2020. Am I right? Okay. So our thinking is basically like this. 2020 has been terrible. Right. By way of comparison, 2021 couldn't be, it just couldn't be that bad. It couldn't be as bad as 2020. Right. Now, that's a lot different from the way we're normally thinking about a new year. Usually we're thinking about hopes, dreams. We're thinking about old habits that we want to kick. That's a big one. New constructive habits that we want to take up. You know, it's usually the turn of the year is a year of possibility. And so we begin to look forward to ways in which we're going to fulfill promises we made to ourselves or fulfill promises we've made to God or fulfill promises we've made to our family, right? So there's a lot of hope and a lot of anticipation usually for a new year. But here it's more that by way of comparison, we're saying, look, let's just crawl out of 2020 and into 2021 because, hey, 2021 really just can't be that bad, can it? Well, that begs a good question. Is there anything to look forward to in 2021 other than the fact that it's not 2020? Is there anything forward to look forward to? And so our challenge, I think, a good challenge for us, right? I mean, the new year is a time for challenges. So here we go. We're not quite there yet. We're almost there. But we're going to just start out with a challenge here. Let's not be so cynical about 2020, right? And all of the not so good things that have occurred in 2020, that we fail to see God. Let's not be so optimistic about 2021 that we take God for granted. right? About that. Let's not be so cynical about 2020 that we fail to see God. But let's also not be so optimistic about 2021 that we kind of take God for granted, right? Let's not let cynicism or optimism blind us to God as we approach a new year. And every new year, we look back and we look forward. And as we look back and forward, let us not be blinded by either cynicism or kind of blind optimism. And then fail to see God while we look forward or while we look back. That's our challenge, right? And in order to meet that challenge or to begin to wrap our minds around that challenge, I think we should look forward and look back through a certain set of lenses. How about that? A certain set of lenses, kind of like my glasses here, which I am practically blind without. Right? You ever see me driving and I'm not wearing my glasses? Then you know something's drastically wrong. You should call somebody. But in any event, we need a certain set of lenses if we're going to be looking forward, if we're going to be looking back. And I think that we could rely on kind of what I would call an old familiar friend from God's word as we turn towards the new year and look back and look forward simultaneously. An old familiar friend, when I say that about something from Scripture, I mean a passage maybe that we're really familiar with. Something that we have a good grasp on, that we maybe we even have it memorized or partly memorized or mostly memorized, that kind of thing. And I think that our set of lenses, as we look forward and look back simultaneously as the turn of the year approaches, it's going to be Psalm 23. Or some of you might know it as the Lord is my shepherd psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd psalm, a great psalm, and we're going to read it, just read it like straight through, and then we're going to just dive into it and kind of go step by step through the psalm together. And hopefully it'll be a nice lens to give us perspective as we look forward and as we look back as the year is about to turn to 2021. So let's go. Psalm 23. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of the Scriptures. It reads as follows: The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful psalm. Many of us are very much familiar with it. Some of us know it by heart. And if you look at it, most of it is in the present tense. Right? Most of it's in the present tense. The vast majority of it is in the present tense. But really, even though it's in the present tense, it's more like someone is reminiscing, like someone's thinking of the past, and their thoughts of the past are kind of so intoxicating, right? Or they're so caught up in the past that basically they see the past as the present. So really, it's in the present tense, but really this is a Psalter. And it's attributed to King David, usually. So traditionally, this is attributed to King David, who himself was a shepherd, so it's kind of appropriate. But the Psalter is reminiscing about the past, remembering the past, intentionally thinking about the past. But and he's so kind of wrapped up in it, it's so vivid for him that he talks about it like the present, right? So he's looking backwards, even though it's in the present tense. And then near the end, he switches perspective and looks forward. And we'll get to that, right? But now, as we begin to put on this set of lenses, and we're going to look back and look forward at the same time as our year is coming to an end, a new year is starting, right? And we want to see God and see what he's done fully, and we don't want to be blinded by cynicism or just, kind of Pollyanna optimism, Right, we're going to put on this set of lenses and we're going to go a little bit slower, just a little bit, through the psalm, through Psalm 23, this well-known psalm, and see clearly through our lenses as we look back and as we look forward. Let's go through a little slowly. Hit verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now there just from the outset, it speaks volumes. Lord, of course, is spoken as a shepherd. The Lord God is spoken of as a shepherd. It's probably the most common metaphor in the Old Testament for God, is God as a shepherd. And in the ancient Near East, there are a great many people groups who would have been acquainted with shepherding. And without question, obviously, the Hebrews or people who would become the Israelites were deeply acquainted with sheep and shepherding, the shepherding practice. They speak of God as a shepherd, so that must make the Psalter, and again, this is traditionally ascribed to David, that would make the Psalter a sheep. He sees himself as a sheep, which is remarkable because David was a king. And so here's David, the king, laying down his crown and saying, "Yeah, I'm the king, but ultimately I'm a sheep and God's the shepherd." He says, "I shall not want." All right, I shall not want. And it's just a picture of God's total provision. God's total provision, which really just may as well be a blanket statement about the rest of the psalm. That really, overall, in total, you're dealing with the provision of the living God. God as a provider, God as a shepherd who provides. Next, we have verses 2 through 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Right? Here you have this wonderful picture of God-given refreshment. God-given refreshment. The shepherds would have taken their flocks out, and part of taking care of their flocks and watching over them properly is to make them lie down, to make them take a rest. Right, to make them just chill out, and they would put them in, green pastures, obviously for food, but then also just to enjoy rest, just to have a place in which to rest. They were particular about where they would have them lay down, where they would have their flocks to rest, and also beside still water, so they wouldn't get freaked out. So you don't want like a put sheep next to the rapids or something like that. You want to put them next to still water so you can keep them quiet, so they can cool out. This is a picture of refreshment, right? He restores my soul is the sentence that kind of captures exactly what's going on with lying down by green pastures and being led beside still waters. It's restoration, spiritual restoration. This is how the Psalter sees God, that God's a shepherd who spiritually restores. He gives them God-given refreshment. Next, also in verse 3, it says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here we have God-given guidance. God-given guidance. God is giving guidance, right? God is a shepherd giving guidance. Shepherds would have known the correct paths to take for their sheep. They would have known the right paths to take, the right crevasses to negotiate, that kind of thing. They would have made sure that their sheep would have been on nice ground, right? Nice terrain to take them on so that they could make sure that they weren't hurt or anything. And here, David is speaking about God leading him in the same way on paths of righteousness for his namesake. In other words, God being true to his very identity would only lead David on right paths, on righteous paths, not terrible ones or anything like that, or treacherous ones. He would only lead him on right paths. And God's name is at stake here, because this is about the fact that it's God's identity to lead us in paths of righteousness, right? So God's track record so far, take a little interlude, right, is that he's a shepherd. Right, that's the chief metaphor that's operating here. God's a shepherd. He gives provision, he gives refreshment and guidance to his sheep, and his sheep are his people, and David, who's traditionally known as the author here, is one of his people. He's a king, but he's a sheep like everybody else, right? Everybody else who is faithful to God. And note that at this point, up until this point, the Psalter refers to God in the third person, like he's speaking to someone about God, right? Like he's speaking to someone about God. You know, he just refers to God. He, that's the pronoun that's used. He does this. He does that, right? And that's how he talks to God. But there's going to be a switch here. So let's get back to our text and we'll see it. Verse 4, we read this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now notice that. Don't miss that. The Psalter here goes from speaking about God as the shepherd to addressing God directly as the shepherd. Right? The shepherd metaphor is still in play, except David is now, rather than talking about God in the third person, it's direct address. He's speaking to God. Right? You. Right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, why this shift? What's happening here? What's going on? Could be a lot of reasons. I think that the Psalter, he's still remembering, right? He's still remembering. Remember what we said, it's present tense, but it's more that he's caught up in a memory that's so vivid, right? It's so vivid. It's in the past, but it may as well be the present because it's so vivid. It's so real and relevant for him, right? That it may as well be the present. So it's still in the past, right? But now he's remembering a different kind of time. It's been this idyllic picture, right? It's been like Rebecca on Sunnybrook Farm so far. But now we got the valley of the shadow of death. There's some translations might just say the shadow or the deep shadow, right? I will fear no evil. Well, wait a minute. He didn't say there wasn't evil. He said he won't fear it, which means there is evil or calamity that's around, right? For you are with me. It could be that suddenly this becomes a lot more personal, this direct address, because there's brutal times. There's darkness. There's darkness here, right? And so suddenly he's not saying he, he's saying you. It's more personal now, right? It's more personal. And suddenly we have this image. So God so far has given him provision, refreshment, guidance. Now there's protection. Protection. Just keep going. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's that about? Depends on the image of a shepherd you see. Usually you see a shepherd image. You see this person wearing long robes, maybe like a tunic, and has a shepherd's crook, which is this really long stick, and it's got this hook in it, right? And that's accurate. That's some of what's happening here. That would have been the staff, right? Maybe you've seen some of that before. If you've seen a picture of a shepherd, you see this figure, and he's got this long stick, usually kind of skinny, and it's got a hook in it. It's called the shepherd's crook, actually. Usually it's what it's referred to, right? That's the staff. And then there's the rod. Now, we may not be used to seeing that. And that's a totally separate instrument. The rod and the staff are separate. They're not the same thing. They are separate, right? And what's going on with that? Well, here's how the rod works. The rod is it's a thick stick, and sometimes it has a knob on the end of it. And it's meant to protect the sheep from other animals, right? It's meant to protect the sheep from other animals, so the shepherd could hit with it. Could also, from what I've read, the shepherd could throw it, right? Kind of like a very odd kind of javelin. Could throw it and could just nail some animal, like a wolf or something wild that wanted to attack the flock. The shepherd could do this. Right, so this is meant to protect the sheep. So, and this is for playing defense, right, against animals. So there you go with that. So you got this protection, right, that is protective element. But then the staff is used to guide the sheep. We talked before about the fact that God leads in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The shepherd leads in these wonderful paths that he knows are sure and are going to be a great way to guide the sheep. Well, the shepherd would also, to aid him in this, would use a staff, and the staff had a hook in it. And the shepherd would use this to get the sheep out of trouble, keep the sheep from getting in trouble, so he'd kind of steer them around and everything. But then, say your sheep got caught in a thicket, in a thistle bush or something like that, or got wrapped up in something that the sheep shouldn't have been involved in, or maybe the sheep was going to come across a snake. And you saw it, but the sheep didn't, right? You could reach over and you could just take that crook, get the sheep out of trouble, yank them, right? Yank them, just get them out, right? Get them out of trouble, right? The rod and the staff, you have this God-given comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, but also combined with protection. Right, it's comfort and protection simultaneously, comfort and protection at the exact same time. Right, that's what's happening there. Then he shifts to this very interesting image. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Right, we're still in this place now, this space where things are dangerous. Right, where things are dangerous, where they're tricky, and you gotta, it's a precarious place for the sheep to be in. I will fear no evil. Right, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Right, and what captures this is this image of a table in oil. Right, what's happening here? Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this isn't like a banquet table. This isn't like, your dining room table and some kind of way in the middle of this outdoor setting, your dining room table appears. This is a, but it's still kind of odd and almost it's out of place. This is an image of a king or an extravagant ruler who is laying down provision, right, for someone, right, usually for someone who's lower in status, and is doing this in this wilderness setting as enemies watch, right, as enemies watch, kind of a slab table and just stout and four legs to it, maybe. That's what's happening here. This extravagant, it's like an extravagant ruler or king is setting out this table for this person in the presence of enemies. Now, it's interesting here. There's a departure from the sheep kind of metaphor, because this is not something that that shepherds do for sheep. There's a departure here, and David here is speaking clearly now, kind of stepping outside the metaphor, right? About him and God, and saying, you watch over me in the presence of my enemies, right? While they're watching, while they're maybe even trying to hunt him down, God's got him, right? You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Back to the sheep imagery. Sheep, at times could get sores, or they could develop infections. The oil was for that, for ministering to their infections or any kind of bruises that they got, or something like that. The shepherd would use the oil in order to heal infections and to take care of them, protect them from the elements, right? And to do that for them. And so you have this image of kind of God-given vindication in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord's preparing a table. And then also at the same time, healing. Healing. Right? And all this takes place in the presence of enemies. This is vindication. God is saying, I'm going to vindicate you in front of your enemies, and I'm going to bind you up. I'll take care of your wounds, maybe some of which were caused by enemies. Who knows? Right? Now, at this point, let's look back and let's look forward, or at least let's look back. We're in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death, or we're in the middle of the shadow, if you will, the deep shadow. And you notice something. You notice that though there is this deep shadow that we have before us, the shadow doesn't distort the fact that the Lord is a shepherd, doesn't distort the fact for David anyway, that the Lord provides, that he gives refreshment, that he gives guidance. Being in the deep shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death, does not blind him to the fact, right, that the Lord gives comfort and protection, or that the Lord vindicates and that he heals, right? Right? The shadow does not blind David to the shepherd. David's not blinded. Right? The shadow does not blind David to the shepherd. That should not be the case for us either. This should be the same thing, right? Shadow should not blind us to the shepherd, right? The shadow of 2020 and all the fallout that we see, what's going on in the world, in our nation, things that have happened to you, ramifications of 2020 for you that are good, bad, and ugly, right? Or maybe I should say, big, bad, and ugly. Those shadows should not blind us to the shepherd. Right? They don't for David. When he's recalling here, about half of this psalm is the shadow. But we can't allow the shadows to blind us to the shepherd. We can't do it. Right? David does not allow that to happen. And the shadow for him was deep. David was not a guy who just knew on, just unlimited blessing in his life. You read David, read his story. Read First and Second Samuel. Read his story. Read the Psalms. There's a reason why David's always talking about enemies and people who betrayed him in life and these kinds of things. Rough story. We don't know at what point in time he wrote this song. We got no idea. We don't know. It's again, traditionally, it has been attributed to him. But I tell you what, if you know enough about David's life, when he's talking about the shadows or the valley of the shadow of death, you can use your imagination and fill in some blanks and figure out when exactly it was he might have been talking about. Was it when he was still really young? God had already declared he was going to be the new king, and he ends up in Saul's court, and he's playing the harp or the lyre, really. And Saul figures out that David, as a warrior, is more famous than he is, and has the affections of the people in a way that Saul does not. And Saul tries to kill him. Was it then? Was that the shadow? Or was it when Saul had had enough of David and Saul realizes that David is going to be the new king? And he knows that not only is he going to be deposed as king, but his son Jonathan's not going to have the throne. His line is going to stop, which actually he'd already received a prophecy about. David's going to start up a new line. And then he begins to hunt David. And David is hunted for a number of years. He's in God's eyes the king. But in real time, reality hasn't caught up to that yet. And so David is on the run for a very long time. A man who in God's eyes is king, but who's hunted by an illegitimate king. And he's in the wilderness, he's on the run. He's got a ragtag bunch of guys with him, and it's tough to keep them happy all the time. And it's a rough deal. Read David's story. Read 1 Samuel. Read beyond David and Goliath. You'll see. Or was it when he's the king, he's established, and his son Absalom revolts against him. And Absalom almost deposes him as king and almost takes the throne, right? In an utterly treacherous revolt that was almost successful. It's that close to being successful. And really, some of that had to do with David getting payback for what he'd done when he slept with Bathsheba and stole and took a man's wife right out from under him and killed the guy to cover up a pregnancy. Right? Was it then? Was that the Valley of the Shadow? Or was it near the end of his life when another one of his sons tries to take the throne from Solomon? Right? With the help of a great military aide, a friend of his, a long-term friend, who turned on David and sided with this older son of his in order to take the kingdom away from Solomon. I mean, pick a time. Pick a time. The shadows are deep. And yet, here's David writing about the Valley of the Shadow. He's honest. He doesn't allow blind optimism to keep him from facing the harsh reality. But he also he doesn't allow for the Valley of the Shadow to blind him to the shepherd. See that? And we can't do that either. So we're looking back at 2020, and obviously it's a few days more 2020, but we can't allow all the craptacular nature of 2020 to blind us to the shepherd. Don't let the shadows blind you to the shepherd. Right? Don't let it happen. How has God been at work with provision in 2020? Even if it's not perfect, maybe it's not the way you thought it was going to be. Maybe you're still waiting on some other things to come in. Okay. How's God been at work providing for you, meeting your needs? How has God refreshed you, God-given refreshment? How has God refreshed you in 2020? In 2020, has he done that? Has he refreshed you, made you to lie down near in green pastures, led you beside some still waters? How has God given you guidance? How has he led you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, with his name on the line? Has he done that for you? Right? Has he done that for you? God-given comfort and protection, your rod and your staff, they come from you. How has God protected you with from threats? Spiritual threats? Maybe there's been other kinds of threats. Threats to your livelihood, maybe even people, I don't know. It's possible, right? Real legitimate threats. How's he done that? How has he used his rod to do that for you? His staff, how has God protected you from yourself? Some things that you were headed towards, that were not paths of righteousness. Paths of unrighteousness, and for whatever reason, they looked really good. And you were headed right there towards a hot mess, and God used the shepherd's crook and yanked you back, that staff. How's that happened in 2020? How has God made a table before you, right? In the presence, in the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe in even the presence of enemies. I don't know. Right? How's he done that for you? Right? Has God healed you, anointed your head with oil, healed you? Maybe emotional wounds. Maybe he's healed you physically. And maybe provided in you, for you in such a way that it was healing, restorative. How has God done that for you? Maybe you can think of ways in which God has done all these things, maybe some of them. That's okay. If you can't tick all the boxes, that's all right. The point is, don't let the shadows, the valley of the shadow, blind you to the shepherd as we look back. Right? And there's been a lot of shadow in 2020. But don't let it blind you to the shepherd. Don't let cynicism about 2020 blind you to what the shepherd's done. But also, as we turn our attention to looking forward, don't let the valley of the shadow blind you to what he's gonna do, to what the shepherd's gonna do. That last verse there, it's waiting for us. Let's hit it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How does he know that? How does he know that? Look at that. Surely. Confidence with which he speaks. Surely. Right? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You could argue, you could say, wait a minute. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Dude, you just spent about half of the psalm talking about the valley of the shadow, or this place of deep shadow. How do you know goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life? They haven't followed you all the days of your life thus far. And to speak with such confidence, surely. That's because David does not allow the shadows to blind him to what the shepherd's going to do. He hasn't allowed the shadow to blind him to what the shepherd has done. He will not allow the shadow to blind him to what the shepherd's gonna do. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's that about that last bit? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For David, that was the ultimate place to be. Look at how things have changed. You start out with this idyllic kind of, rustic scenery. You got green pastures, still waters, right? Paths of righteousness. It gets dark, but it's still outside, still rustic. It's a valley, right? And then all of a sudden he shifts right at the end. The house, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you read enough of the Psalms, you see that David's this funny guy. David was a king who wanted to be a priest. He's a king who wanted to be a priest. He wanted to be king. Okay, you can read the narrative, read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. He wanted to be king. But he as he pressed into God more in his life, he just he came he wanted to be someone who just could gaze upon the Lord at the temple, or at really at that point is the tabernacle. There wasn't a temple yet. Solomon would build the temple. He could be at the tabernacle and just gaze upon the Lord, or hang out in the Lord's presence. He just wanted to delight in the Lord's presence. David was a king who wanted to be a priest. And for him, that's the ultimate place to be. To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that for him is where the shepherd would lead him. It's funny because you start out with all this rustic imagery, and it's like, yeah, but the shepherd is ultimately going to lead me in his presence, right? I just want to be in the Lord's house. I just want to dwell with him. That's what he's seeing. He was like, that's where I want to be at. That's my place. David does not allow the shadow to blind him to what the shepherd has done. He also will not allow the shadow to blind him to what the shepherd is going to do. That's for me and you too. The shepherd has more provision to give in 2021. He's got more refreshment. He's got more guidance. He's got more comfort and protection. He's got more vindication and healing. He's got more, not less. More. The shepherd's got more for us. And so, because the shepherd has more for us, we can't allow shadows, pandemic, the fallout in our own lives from the pandemic, the fallout in church because of pandemic. You know, even right now, we're obviously experiencing some of that. Political unrest, people losing friendships, familial relationships disrupted over all this stuff, political, racial unrest. All the things. Economic insecurity, wars and rumors of wars, these kinds of things. It's not that we ignore them. Blind optimism's not going to cut it. But neither is cynicism. The shadows can't blind us to what the shepherd has done, but also can't blind us to what he's going to do. This isn't some kind of weird Pollyanna thing about your 2021 is going to be amazing, right? This isn't, some kind of weird psychic friends network or something like that. You hear all that kind of stuff. It's not the way it is. It's more that we need to be focused on God's faithfulness and consistency. God's got more provision, more refreshment, more guidance, more comfort, more protection, more vindication, more healing in the midst of shadows as well. It's not an either or. It's a both and. I'd prefer that all those things came without being the valley of the shadow of death, but notice many of them come while you're there. While I'm there, while we're there. Let's not let the shadows blind us to the shepherd. You see? Because he's got more shepherding to do. Right? And that's going to take trust on our part for provision. It will take slowing down to receive the rest he wants to give us, discernment for the guidance he wants to give us, saying no to some things. Because if he wants to guide us one way, we're going to have to say no to some other paths, right? Risk, because there are times where God will say, the righteous path, the path of righteousness, runs right through a valley of the shadows. He'll comfort and he'll protect in the valley. And he'll vindicate and he'll heal in the valley. All of this awaits us in 2021, along with goodness, along with mercy. Right? It's not an either or when it comes to these wonderful spiritual highs with God versus valley moments. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Sometimes the best spiritual highs are right in the middle of a valley. Don't let the shadows blind you to the shepherd. He's not done, right? Let's not be blind to what the shepherd has done. Let's not be blind to what the shepherd is going to do and what he wants to do. We'll continue this next week as we focus more on the kinds of things that God could be asking of us for 2021 as we look forward and also look back. But I do urge all of us, myself included, to keep our eyes on the shepherd and to not let the shadow have the final say. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord keep you. May he bless you and your entire family. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless you.